thanks for hanging out with us. It's the second hour on this kind of dreary Friday afternoon. After a beautiful sunny week, though, I have to tell you before we get into the other stuff. So it's free to watch Anyone But You, Sydney Sweeney, nice. Glenn Powell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I started last night at about. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's okay.
It's here's a review. Neither brilliant nor dreadful. Anyone But You features a cast of characters that are unbelievably attractive.
Right. Yeah.
Apparently insanely wealthy. We go to this place in Australia and the cinematography is it's gorgeous. It starts Gwen Powell and Sydney Sweeney's breasts. And the formulaic equivalent of a Hallmark movie knockoff. You know the drill. Two perfect people meet, are attracted, then they go. But I,
for you to just
Gwen
say
Powell has more charisma than Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
And this is, and someone said this about her in the movie. She has the saddest eyes.
She does.
She,
you're a little bit right there.
She has this.
It's kind of a, yeah.
It's just, they kind of, it's like marionette eyes. You know, when mouse start to, her eyes are sad. If you just look at it, that is something, but she is incredibly gorgeous.
Yeah, incredibly.
And they have some fun little interactions, and there is some chemistry.
Yeah.
It's just okay.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I'm going to skip it.
No, you kind of want to watch. Grant.
Julia, I'm not, I don't like fine
running as a plane movie.
This is what I think is so unfair about our show. Mm. You talked about this movie for 2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, this is so unfair.
I believed it. Yeah, but then
this
if
is,
it's just going to be fine, I got four
so
things to watch.
This is so unfair of you. You spend so much of our time talking about these things, and you never follow through.
How about a plane ride movie?
No.
No?
It could be a plane movie, but I just soon watch 13 going on 30 again on a plane because I know what I'm getting. That's great.
You're going to see a hot, hot Glenn Powell.
Yeah. Shirt off all the time.
I'm crying. No fair.
Maybe I'll watch it.
219
But your review
worldwide.
Of Fine is less than inspiring because your appetite for a rom-com is huge.
I'm going to give this a only, B minus.
Then it's better than Fine.
Is it?
I would say that.
I would say a Fine
and,
is a
and,
C.
And I fell asleep before the end, so I'm going to go back and finish it. But I will say the character, I mean, it has people we haven't seen.
I'm going to cry foul on behalf of our listeners that you give wishy-washy reviews like this. It's fine. Now people have to Hollywood speak what you're saying. And I'm saying a fine is a C.
Okay, but I'm not spending 14 months talking about it in every segment.
So what? And we didn't talk about it in every segment. We were having so much fun wanting her to be dating him in real life instead of the 48-year-old, you know.
She is so tiny, you guys. She must be a size minus zero. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And her rack is probably just a 32D.
Well, we know how tiny Glenn Powell is. He's not that
he's
big.
Not big.
He's 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah.
He's not huge.
Yeah.
You know.
But the critics gave it like a 56, and the audience gave it an 87.
It.
Yeah.
They
and
liked
it's free.
It more than you did. And our audience that called in, a couple of people loved it and said that you in particular would be loving this.
I know. I didn't love it. But
it
we've
was
got
the chemistry.
It
the lack of chemistry.
It was there at some times. Okay, who do we have, Grant?
So Deborah's on the line. She watched the movie and she's got an opinion as well.
Okay, Deborah, hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
I loved that movie.
Okay.
It was the best rom-com that I have seen in years.
Okay.
Julia,
tell us why, though. Give us a little more, Deborah.
Will you watch it?
Well, I guess because of the zany things that Sydney Sweeney does.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, every rom-com is a formula.
Which I like, usually.
Right. I mean, absolutely. But I just loved it. I guess maybe because, you know, the older actor that plays the groom.
Yes.
The groom, yeah.
Brian Brown.
Yes. You know,
he's
I really
good.
Liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really liked the chemistry between the two of them.
Okay.
And then all of the supporting characters. Really enjoyed.
They have a great supporting cast.
Her review
now, Deborah,
makes me want to see this more than your review.
This is
did.
What happens when I start watching movies late at night, too.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, though.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that. Thank
that's
you.
That's why I called. You're welcome.
And Glenn Powell's hot.
Oh, he's beautiful.
He's so hot.
And that's kind of what everybody, I mean, though, when the reviews first came out, a lot of people said the same thing you said, that it was fine. But then I remember we had another person call in who loved it. That said that, you know, the sexiness but of the two of them made the chemistry for that particular person. Maybe for Deborah, the same thing.
Yeah.
But $25 million to make, $212 globally in the box office. Obviously, people liked it enough to... Word of mouth that spread on that movie.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's going to be the big Alan Ritchson, because when Hitman comes out in June, too, that's supposed to be really good.
But it's free. I mean, it's on, if you pay for it now, it's on Netflix, and it's called Anyone But You.
Yeah.
And when I go back in tonight and it's cold and dreary outside,
you'll like it
and
better.
Snuggle up with it, I probably will.
Yeah. There you go. Come back with a dinner review on Monday.
I saw it on, I'm like, I have to watch this for the show. And I did the same to the beginning of the Jon Bon Jovi documentary.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which you do have to pay attention because there's pictures in the background. You just can't listen.
I read Neil's review and I'm like, I'm not wasting 5 hours.
I know.
That's how it feels. It doesn't feel like that's too much Bon Jovi.
It does.
I mean, I didn't even go to a Bon Jovi show until the 2000s because I didn't like Bon Jovi back in the day.
You and I went and Richie Sambora didn't like how he was portrayed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Quote, he says he disagrees with how they framed his departure from the band. He contributed to the interviews with Jon Bon Jovi's, but ultimately felt the producers didn't do him any favor.
Because John was driving the documentary, is my understanding.
And John invited Richie to his house to screen the show, and he wasn't happy. Richie left after the third episode because he was sick and tired of what he was seeing. He didn't like the way he's being cast.
Oh, wow.
And the
Money.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Nope, that's good. Keep going.
No, that's it. That's all I got to say.
Oh.
So anyway.
So he's spoken.
He has spoken.
Yeah, and I've read another trusted source. I think the Hollywood Reporter and maybe the Huffington Post and the critics that reviewed it just said, if you're if you're a Bon Jovi fan, you're going to love this.
Right.
But, you know, if you're just, you know, a music fan.
Right. You and I
watch The Greatest Night in Pop.
Feel like you and I went to the Excel.
We did.
With someone else.
We did. We'd never seen him before.
No, we didn't. We wanted to go. And it was fun.
It was fun.
And Richie Sambora was still with him.
Yes, he was. I was appalled at what a bad dancer
Jon Bon Jovi is.
Oh, my God.
But these early...
No rhythm.
The footage from him being young, wow.
Oh, my gosh. They were the biggest band.
He was so hot.
Yeah, very good looking.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Okay, well, we can just move on out to the random thoughts if you want.
Is it time? All right, let's do it. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Lori and Julia here for Learning RX, where one-on-brain training is changing people's life all the time. And we've been so thrilled to work with Learning RX for so many years here and know it works and love the testimonies we get from all the families and the people that have gone through the program. And if your loved one is struggling or you're struggling, Learning RX is just such a wonderful place because it works. But it all starts with an assessment. And it takes a little bit more of an hour of your time. And I've gone through it. It's not scary or anything, but it just really tests, you know, your memory. Is it working? How do you pronounce things? Can you read quickly? Are you reading? Are you not reading? Are you understanding? It's very good, but it tests your cognitive part of your brain. And then from there, what's positive, what's negative, and let's focus on what we can do to help you. And they develop a program directly for you. Learning RX, call them today. The assessment is 50% off when you mention Lori and Julia.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You know, I I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
All right, we're back, everybody. All right, so we have... first of all, I got an email from someone last night. Before you leave your program, will you please tell me who the cheeky implants are about? When you're talking about, it's just random. He has cheeky implants. It's just random. That is Sam Champion, who does the weather on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
And I just watched him again today on Good Morning America. He has not let the filler out.
No.
It is high and bold, and it's a little distracting.
Yeah.
They're cheeky implants.
They're cheeky implants. That's all they are. It's just random. So we have a woman in here named Leah.
Layla.
And she is, she's been listening to us for a hot minute since the beginning, she says. Yes. And you're here with the Minnesota Opera, and we're going to talk about the opera's performance of La Boheme in a minute. But you just said, I was just in New Orleans sitting next to whom?
Christina Hendricks and her new husband.
And she's lovely, isn't she?
She was so sweet. They were sitting at the bar. They walked in to a bar that I happened to be sitting at and sat just a seat over from me and then eventually sat right next to me. And they were just in love. And I heard them talking about how John Slattery had texted her.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations with like a million emojis and exclamation points.
Oh, yeah.
And
from Mad Men.
Mad Men.
So it was after they had gotten married.
Yes. So it was Monday. So I think the wedding had been like Saturday or Sunday. And so I had been joking with some friends earlier, like, how crazy would it be? I'm in New Orleans for the first time if they just happened to be in town. And so when they walked into the bar that I happened to be sitting at, like, I was like absolutely shocked. Yeah.
That's so fun. Yeah. Okay. So you went, you know, Lori's going to New Orleans next weekend. So we can just do a brief highlight of New Orleans. So you both talked about what museum?
The World War II Museum.
And it's amazing.
It's fantastic.
It really is.
You need, I would say, 4 hours at least. Mm-hmm. They have a 2-day pass. They have a movie that Tom Hanks narrates,
yes.
And it's a 4K experience. Not like the 4K where they throw water on you, but the sheiks, the seats shake.
Oh, really?
And they have just, it's an emotional experience, but it's very cool.
Really,
yeah,
it really is.
You learn a lot.
You know, Hanks raised money for that museum, and
he
wanted to have a museum here in the United States.
Yeah.
And... like, I learned all kinds of things. Like, that's where I learned about, you know, that Hollywood was involved with
They have a whole section on
the sets that the American army was using to trick Hitler into thinking they would storm the beaches north of Calais.
Yes.
And they fell for it.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was Hollywood that built these things that, I mean, it was a really interesting, wonderful
And they have
museum.
The whole planes.
Yes.
So, like, you literally are standing above, I don't know the names of the planes, but just giant planes. And they have, like, five or six in the air. And, it was just, it was really done.
Did you
a little overwhelming because it's so much information.
Right. Did you by any chance go to the float museum?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't know about that.
People, there is a museum where they host all the floats. On the off season, it's supposed to be pretty cool down there.
I just ate a lot of beignets.
Oh, I bet.
Every single day, my friend
amazing.
Took me to a different beignet spot.
Oh, fun.
And I went to the museum and I just,
it's affordable
really
too.
Time. Actually,
you're
very
not on those
affordable.
Big weekends like the jazz weekend or something like
that. But food and drink is affordable in New Orleans.
Yeah, it was less
of
than
the
$3.
There's so much.
Yes.
So
great coffee, the Cafe Au Lait. Yeah.
Oh, fun. All right. Well, thanks for hanging with us.
I'm going to
I'm going to get into a couple randoms.
Okay.
This one I think is so darling, and thanks for getting this, Lori and Grant. But two Alabama families named their kids Johnny Cash and June Carter. They didn't know each other. They both had babies on the same day in the same hospital.
What?
And it's so random how they even named their kids. So Johnny Cash, it's this couple... one of them has all Johns in their family, and they were thinking a different way to talk about this John. So they named his middle name Cash, and they decided they'd call him Cash, but they had to do the Johnny.
Yeah.
So it was Johnny Cash Davis. And then the other one, the woman's family, Clark, her sister helped her come up with June Carter. because I think June.
You don't see a lot of Junes anymore.
June Allison is the last.
That's my birthday month. Yeah. So yeah. There should be more
it's
Junes.
It's a great name, but you don't.
June
you,
is.
You don't meet
April's,
a lot of Mays or Junes or. Yeah.
September's. We used to have more
I never
seasonals.
Met anybody named September.
Season Hubley. Remember her? But that's a weird name. Season. I mean, but we had. Haven't we had a September?
Julia.
We haven't.
You're trying to pull something out of your ass and it's not
working. I tried. I did it. But anyway, then they had these two get together in the nursery and they put a little guitar above them.
Oh, cute.
They did a picture, but this, they might be destined to meet. So that's kind of a cute story. And the same thing. You also gave me something with the font the size of -2. So I've had to rewrite it and look at it with one eye. But this is a cool thing. A man named Tez Steinberg, who is 36 years old, rowed a boat all the way from Honolulu to Queensland, and it's
Australia.
Yes, and it was 5,000 miles away, and he started on December 19th and got there on April 22nd.
And he did this because
he wanted to. I don't have the rest of the details because the print was too small.
Yeah, I think he did it to raise awareness about all the
ocean
plastic.
Conservation. Yeah. Thank you, Lori. Yeah. That was just.
I would be terrified to row in a boat across that many miles.
Terrified.
That just, isn't that the basis of like so many of these terrible movies where people get shipwrecked and die?
Everything. And his boat was kind of like a long, wider rowboat with a little cover on it so he could sleep and get some sun protection.
It just sounds terrifying.
It does. But he to warm up, he rowed from California to Oahu, and that took him 71 days. So he did a smaller mini trial before he went out.
Like how you train for a marathon. You know, you would go 5 miles, 10 miles. Mm-hmm. Like I would know.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so there is a new pair of jeans that are out. And they are called the perfect pair of jeans that make you look like you're wet your pants.
What?
I'm dead serious.
Who wants
they're
that?
Called, they're called, they came out, they're so funny looking. So it's like right in front on your jeans, it's a darker color that looks like your crotch is wet.
Okay.
They're for 525 pounds. Jordan Luca is the designer. He just did them last week. But who wants
nobody
this the is- jeans? That make you look like you're wet. Funny that I said that because in the movie Anyone But You, there is a scene about this.
About wetting your pants?
Mm-hmm, basically. but that is something I just don't understand. Lori, you gave me something on a red light therapy. This is in the New York Post today. And one of the things we love about the Hydrafacial is the ending. The happy ending with the red light.
Yeah, the red light mask that comes over and so gets everything to really get
sink into your skin. So I've been researching red lights. I almost bought one at the Mall of America because Theragun has their own red light mask version. Mm-hmm. But apparently, according to this dermatologist, for $348, you can buy this LED light and you just go under it every morning for 20 minutes and it's really supposed to work. Do you believe it? Are we going to believe
that? I'm
going to
ask Dr. Jarvis about it when we see him on Wednesday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we asked Dr. Crutchfield about it, and he said, yeah, but you have to make sure that you get a mask from a good, reputable place, that you don't fall asleep under it.
Right.
You have to have eye protection.
Yes, you do.
He was more skeptical about, you know, the people wanting to sell $350 masks to people.
It boosts cellular activity and reduces the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles. Yeah. Not that we're worried at all about those little things above our lips, but it would be nice to know about red light therapy. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Leah, too, for contributing. When we come back, it's time for the opera. We'll be right back.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
This is Pavarotti. But we have our own Pavarotti in studio with us right now. We have Jeremiah Sanders, who is one of the artists performing in La Boheme. which is Minnesota Opera is putting on, and it's going to be running from May 4th through May 19th at the Ordway Theater. And welcome, Jeremiah.
Thank you for having me. I'm so thrilled to be with you, Julia and Lori.
You're so darling. So, so tell us about, you know, if you've never been to the opera before, why La Boheme is like such a great
starting place to start.
Absolutely. So I would say that it's one of those operas that has moved beyond the opera sphere and gotten into pop culture. True. If you've seen Moulin Rouge, if you've seen Moonstruck, if you've seen Rent, then you're going to recognize the plot to La Boheme. It's got these cinematic, sweeping musical lines that just are captivating, and it has that kind of plot that moves from fun to dramatic to romantic, all on a dime. Like every single act in the show, there's some sort of driving force to connect with. And so I would say that's one of the reasons why I'm taken by La Boheme myself.
That's like such a great description. And we were just talking because we remembered years ago when Ian Punnett did something with the Minnesota Opera and we all went and saw an opera together.
He was just appalled that we were heathens and never been to the opera.
That was exactly.
You're heathens, you radio people.
And we remember trying to figure out what we're going to wear, but we loved the closed captioning too, because sometimes, you know, it's in Italian and no one knows what you're saying. So I just kind of love, so it, for people who have never been before.
Don't be intimidated.
Don't be intimidated. It's like so lovely.
Right. Yes. Come. There are super titles above that's translating everything that we say. We've spent a lot of detailed work on really communicating the story. So, you know, your eyes can be on us some of the time, and that, you know, helps the drama move along as well. And for those people who might be coming for the first time, where would you want?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Have fun. Whatever. Yeah. You're right. It shouldn't be intimidating at all.
But do not wear your shower slides or sandals. I am drawing the line.
I don't know about that. Okay, so Jeremiah, tell us, were you grew up in Indiana.
That's right.
You are just darling. And did you grow, was opera always where you wanted to go? Because you've won so many awards.
Yeah, so I grew up singing in church choir with my great-grandmother.
Nice.
And got into community theater and arts at school. I saw my first opera when I was 17 and thought, wow, this does everything that I like as far as dance and lighting and singing. And so I decided to go to undergrad to be a choir teacher. And my voice teacher in undergrad said, I think you're going to sing at La Scala one day. You probably could drop your ed major. And I thought, are you kidding me? What's La Scala?
I'm thinking that too, but I think it's a great
place. It's the opera house in Milan, isn't it?
Yes, it's one of those famous opera theaters in Italy. And so I got connected with some really incredible mentors and finished my time at IU, a wonderful school for singing. The rest is history. I auditioned for a program for Minnesota Opera, and now I'm a resident artist here. And
nice.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
And you are you a baritone? Are you a tenor? Are you an alto?
You've got
or soprano?
A good ear. Yeah. I am a baritone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you have the deep.
Yeah.
Is there like something we could sing together?
Well, do you know Mary Had a Little Lamb?
I think
that's copyright approved.
Let's do it.
You want to do it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, ready?
Uh-huh.
Mary had a little. I see you snuck out on me.
I came back in. Because you have. Just go there for a hot second.
Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb.
Came home all the time. It's twice as white as snow. Or what is the line?
I think it's fleece as white as snow.
Okay.
Some people might debate me on that.
You're right. Yeah. It's twice as white as snow. I couldn't remember, but what a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
And your instrument, it's all diaphragm.
You know, we sing with the whole body.
You do. Mm-hmm. That is something about opera, isn't it?
Yeah. So one of the things for those who haven't been to an opera before might be interested to know is we sing unamplified over a huge, like, 60-piece orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right?
And is that just norm, always?
Most opera, unless it's something really, really gnarly and new,
okay,
we always are unamplified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you must.
Otherwise, you have no business singing opera.
yeah, you can damage your voice if you don't have a good technique.
Yeah.
And so,
because I always had the theory that and I don't know, maybe this is just one of my made up theories, but like women who are opera, they're always ample chested. They tend to have a pretty
heavy bosom. Oh. That's what bigger she means bosom. By that. That's what she means.
For singing, the diaphragm, you rarely see a lot of flat chested girls in the opera.
The barrel chest of it all is something that we
applaud. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
And I'm just trying to even take a peek at like how much tickets start at. I mean, for people to know. I'm looking at a date here, and we posted a link at the Lori and Julia show page at MyTalk1071. If you were to go to, can't.
We have to go to this, Joe. We love Moulin Rouge.
I'm telling you.
Love Moonstruck. Loved Rent.
Yes, come.
And have never seen La Boheme except through those
movies. Right, what did Julia Roberts see when she was crying in Pretty Little Women?
I think that was La Traviata.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Very good.
Thank you.
and so
but Cher saw La Boheme at the Lincoln Center.
Mm-hmm. $30 to something higher.
Yeah.
Like $100. So really, it's an easy point of entry for people.
I would say so, yeah.
And what a fun thing to experience
with
somebody.
How many in the cast? How many people?
Gosh, there are four dudes that are kind of the main characters there and two leading ladies.
Okay.
Yeah, so six principal characters. Okay. And then we have a huge chorus that's just fabulous.
And I'm sure your costumes are amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Tell us what you wear. All right, if you're just joining us, we're with Jeremiah Sanders, who is starring in La Boheme, which is at the Ordway. Minnesota Orchestra is putting it on May 4th through the 19th.
One of my favorite things about Minnesota Opera is that we have a costume shop and we have a scene shop. And that's something that's kind of rare with opera companies.
One?
Costume shop, scene shop.
Oh, scene. Okay.
Yeah, so the sets that you'll see, this is a new production. So all of the costumes, never seen before. The scene, like the set pieces, rather, never seen before. And it's so beautiful and just really visually helps our storytelling. It's so exciting.
I want to go to see you.
Well,
I mean, look at you. You're infectious.
Thank you.
Seriously, Jeremiah. I mean, I remember when we went, we were just in awe. Mm-hmm. And like, it's so visually, it does hit all your senses.
Yeah.
When you go, and I always think of Julia Roberts. A tear.
One of my favorite parts about the show, we were doing tech rehearsals last night, and at the end of Act 3, there's a moment where snow is falling, and anytime you can create snow on stage, it's just magic.
Wow.
It's just magic.
How long is the show?
The show is about 2 hours and 35 minutes.
A nice little intermission. Mm-hmm.
We'll have an intermission in there so you can stretch your legs, stop by concessions.
Yes.
Oh, you know it.
Wine. You know it.
I know.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry, but you must know that. Leah, I don't know if you told them who we are. We like to have a cocktail at these events.
So we had a nice phone chat this morning.
I was so excited.
She was.
Well, I'm so excited for you and so excited to meet you. And I'm sure it's going to be just huge. When you are going out there and performing, like, can you liken the feeling to anything? Like what you feel like on stage when you're in the moment?
It just feels otherworldly, you know. It feels like you are locked in and connected with the audience. We are really responsive to applause, and you know the breath is palpable in the room when those touching, soft moments happen, or when people are, you know, boisterous and excited with us as we do the beginning of Act Two. Like we feel that synergy almost with the audience and the orchestra, and it just feels like living magic. I don't really have words to describe it.
That's a great
I mean, that is dark. I mean, you are so amazing. That is like living magic. How lovely. People go to this show.
Please.
And there's a link, and if you can't go to our link, just go to minnesotaopera.org probably, and it's all there. What a treat for us.
And again, thank the show you. Is
May 4 through May 19th in downtown St. Paul at the Ordway.
Yes, thank you
so much.
And then pop on over to the St. Paul Grill.
Ooh.
Yeah, visit our friend Mary. Have yourself. What a treat for us. Thank you for coming in today on a Friday.
Thank you.
I think we're going to be in for such a treat seeing this show.
Can't wait to see you there.
Okay, take care.
All right.
I know it really, you're darling. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Hollywood Speak.
What is the meaning of this?
Oh, we're so taken with Jeremiah.
I know.
Get your tickets to the Minnesota Opera to see La Boheme. I mean, seriously. That was a good one. Thank you, Rocco. Rocco set that up for us.
Yeah, what a voice.
No kidding.
Wow.
And now we know how Mary had a little land.
Good sound.
Good sound. There we go.
Thank you. All right. What's our first one we're getting
Okay. So let's start with this one. Dermot Mulroney reveals he didn't work for a year after my best friend's wedding. And he, quote, I'm quoting him, "I chalked it up to me being so tiny on the poster, the little guy on the cake."
Okay, so this is, first of all, I fell in love with him in this, we all did.
In this
he
movie.
Was so sexy and hot in my best friend's wedding.
Yeah.
And then it was between Cameron Diaz or Julia Roberts, but the poster is a huge head of Julia Roberts with the four Rupert, I can't think of his last name, Dermot in these four small little pictures underneath. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an interesting take.
Yeah.
I think this is why I haven't blown up is because Lori's name comes first.
Right.
I think it's an interesting take, but it's kind of a far-fetched. I don't understand.
Yeah. He really is tiny. If you look at the poster.
I have a picture of us. Yeah. I will find.
But he's tiny on the cake. It's Julia Roberts is front and center.
Yeah.
Right.
And he looks like a cake topper.
And I was looking at his IMDb page to see how many
after 1997 did he really not work for a whole year?
He's telling you the truth. But one of the movies I loved came out in 2005 with Deborah Messing, The Wedding Date.
Oh yeah,
he's so sexy. If you want to watch a rom com, it's called The Wedding Date. Deborah Messing is going to her sister's wedding in London.
And she needs a date.
She hires him through, you know, to be her escort. And it's steamy
and
sexy.
Know, my best friend's wedding, when it opened in June of 1997, it was number two at the box office after Batman and Robin. And it grossed $127 million against a $38 million budget.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
I loved it.
But anyway.
That's when we first really kind of met Cameron Diaz.
True.
And she was, she lit up the screen.
Yes, she did.
That was a great, the moment I wake up, before I have the soundtrack DVD.
Okay.
Before I put on my makeup.
Hollywood speak this, Stephen King this morning, all caps, baby reindeer, holy expletive. That's it.
He liked it. He liked it. Holy crap.
He really liked
holy
it.
Holy crap. It seems like such a, I don't even know, really. It seems so weird, but
it's a true story.
You guys are going to love it.
And I watched one episode. It's a true story. And the guy who's in it staged a play at the Edinburgh
Film.
Their Fringe Festival.
Right.
About his experience being a stand-up comic and meeting this woman. So he stars in this story about his own life, and he gets stalked by this woman who calls him Baby Reindeer. So he's really in the show.
Well, what did you think after watching one episode?
I liked it, but Casey was out because he didn't like the woman's laugh.
Listen,
and
I love my brother so much. He's so particular. It's so funny, Lori. You get to start so many shows and then have to go watch him upstairs in the little TV.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay. He goes, nah, I'm not going to be able to take 8 episodes of this lady's laugh. I said, I think it's only 6. Nope.
People used to be that about Melanie Griffith. Her laugh and her high-pitched voice.
I think you know one person.
I do. I actually know two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, rumors are swirling and the streets are talking that Dorit is out of next season's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I'll be very disappointed.
Carcass out or carcass in? Is this a rumor or is this?
I think it might be a rumor because they've already, Crystal's already gone. Dorit, I'm not ready to lose her yet.
You're not ready to lose
her? I need to know a little bit about more about how does PK make his money?
Yeah. Well, Brian Boylan, remember he wrote the book about...
What was it called?
Well, Dave Quinn wrote a book about the Real Housewives, yes. And so did Brian Boylan. He writes for Vulture and covers everything.
He's on.
Bravo. But he put out on social media, I have heard from a pretty good source, Dorit is sticking around.
Yeah, I hope so.
She could be sticking around as a friend of.
That's okay. I like her. I still like her. I'm still intrigued by what she shows up wearing.
That's the only thing she really brings to the show.
But she brings more than Erica does for me.
That's true.
Erica is so boring.
Okay. Kylie Jenner poses on Instagram today showing off her flat tummy.
After the rumors that she was pregnant.
And multiple sources ran to exclusive to Us Weekly, to exclusively tell Us Weekly. So... Kris Jenner and PMK. Kylie is not pregnant. They've been keeping in touch while he's been in Manhattan filming and are still together. That's not exactly a resounding.
It isn't. It's saying they're still together, but I don't.
They're keeping in touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I keep in touch with.
We'll see if they do the Met Gala together.
That would be the thing.
That'll be multiple sources ran to.
But do you think they are together? Because we have seen crickets. Yeah. And they
think there's a physical attraction there. Yeah. I don't see him settling down with this 26-year-old, even if she is a billionaire, because she's got
two kids with Travis Scott.
Well, I have two kids with anybody. She's got a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. I'm going to tell you right now, when I was 27, I would never have gotten together with somebody that had a 6 and a 2-year-old. It would have been brutal for you.
Grant, when you were 27, would you?
But if there's a billion dollars in a plane.
I mean.
That's a good.
And a lot of good opportunities.
Yes.
Yeah, but he doesn't need it. He's already got a red hot career. He doesn't need the Kardashians for anything. So
agreed.
He just likes her. There's a physical attraction there. And being apart is very good for physical attraction. So this is like the best of both worlds. He can just date her until he's the orgasmic haze is over.
I know some kids that age that think she's hot.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She really is.
Okay. Here's a quote from Yahoo Entertainment about Golden Gary. Gary had no interest in finding a bride or really in the feelings of any of the women he courted on TV. He wanted to be a Hollywood player and be rich and famous. And he thought this would be the way to do it.
I don't think he's
going to be a Hollywood player.
No, he isn't, but I don't believe that.
See, I kind of do.
Do you? But why would he think that?
Well, because he was asked during COVID, then COVID happened.
Right.
And then all of his, maintance man work really dried up. And
people were remodeling during that
maybe,
phase.
Maybe. But I'm just saying he was a maintenance man at senior communities and stuff like that.
I love it that you made that up.
I did.
He just made that up, Grant.
No, that was from the Hollywood Reporter. He was a maintenance worker.
It at senior communities?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
And a health club. He had contracts at different places. I do think Gary would have liked to have been rich and famous. And I think when the Bachelor producers begged him to be on and they showed him kind of what can happen with your Instagram account and we'll get you all set up with that and you can make money, I think, yes.
But he lost it all when he got divorced. I mean, even if he would have stayed married a little bit, he could have hung on to it.
Julie, he still got all the Insta followers.
But who would follow him now? Because who cares?
You would be surprised at how lazy people are about not unfollowing people that they have no interest in anymore. Well, he's got 162,000 followers.
When was his last post? We're talking about Gary, the Golden Bachelor.
His very last post is Family Feud, April 7th.
And I never saw it. Did anyone see that?
No.
I kind of wanted to, but I forgot to tape it. Yeah.
Yeah. you know, Leslie Fima has 84,000 followers.
And how many does he have?
162. Once you get over 100,000,
yeah,
you know.
But what could he possibly be the spokesperson
that's what
for
he's
now?
Got an agent in Hollywood. I told you that last week.
Yeah,
he's got representation. You know, he really does. Mm,
maybe he's going to give dating advice.
Oh, that would be a bad idea.
I don't know. I feel like his time has passed.
Oh, God. Mick Jagger, 4 hours ago, just posted
sent
a picture
a
from Cape Canaveral. Thanks, NASA, for showing us around.
That's a cool place to visit if you've never been.
It is.
We went there as kids. That is a cool.
Oh, yeah. Mick is
Kennedy
in
Space Center. That's cool.
Yeah, that's where they are.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. It's Lori and Julia. Happy Hour is coming up.